people who love them.
Hello again, this is Mickey Desai coming to you from Strongbox West in Atlanta. This is The Thing About Cars, and it's a beautiful day outside, but we're inside, and at the table, I wanted to tell you that we actually have a full house yet again. There are, like, what, six of us here? So let's just do quick introductions.
I'm Rob.
Becca.
Eric.
Frank.
Ben.
And once again, I am Mickey. We've got, a full slate of things to talk about, too. The first thing I want to talk about is I have a couple friends, Shanna and Mike, who posted this question to me some time ago. They bought a car recently. It was a Toyota Highlander, maybe? And they were looking at two cars, same identical model, but one was a year younger, right? So two Toyotas. The older one had fewer miles. The newer one, of course, had more miles. If you were in that situation, which one would you get? The younger car with more miles or the older car with fewer miles?
I would have to start with what kind of options to each vehicle have. Is there anything that differentiates it? Differentiates it. Makes them different.
No. Assume
or just the year and the model. Everything else?
Everything else is the same. All the bells and whistles are the same. Let's just assume that.
Cosmetics are the same. Yep. Service history is the same.
Yep.
Was there a recall that got addressed when that year model year?
That's a good question. I'm assuming that all these things have been sort of addressed.
I'd go with the newer one.
Why is that?
It would be worth more later.
It depends on how long.
What's the mileage difference?
Yeah, that was the next.
It may still have warranty left when the older one will not.
Yeah, being the type who drives them until the wheels fall off, my gut would be to go with the one with fewer miles, especially since it's probably a more modern car anyway. So things last pretty well.
I'm agreeing with Ben. That's where I was leaning, was going towards the one with fewer mileage.
Right. Well, and we're all people that really do drive them until the wheels fall off. But I think that if you're not, if you're the kind of person who replaces their car
every few years.
Every 500,000 miles, right. I get a new one.
Whether you need it or not.
That's about three times as long as my VW GTI left.
But to
address what you said about cost or value, when it comes to resale value, you would think that up front, if you're paying for the older one, you're paying less than the one that's a year newer. So anything you may lose for that 1 year difference at the end of your ownership should be the same sort of delta at the beginning of your ownership. It's the same. I would think that's the same logic.
But it also depends on how old they are, too. Once you get old enough, I'm assuming these are newer, once you get old enough, a couple of years in the model wouldn't make a difference as far as the value anyways.
Like it was like a 15 or 20,000 mile difference between the two.
So,
on a Toyota, that really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's pretty negligible with modern hardware.
Yeah.
That's, so it really comes down to color.
There you go.
Well, then the little detail, like color, you want to look at how much life is left in your tires, because even that's a $1,000 difference. Mm-hmm. Belt, service history like that, just all your wearables, your shocks.
So basically it sounds like the same sort of checklist that you would use for buying just a used car. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Just comparing the two of them.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, what's next on the agenda? Becca, you wrote a couple things up there for us.
Yeah, where to start. I think first and foremost, we have a new law going into effect on 7/1, which is rapidly approaching. Here in Georgia, it's called the hands-free law. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much you can't touch your phone at all. It specifically says, what is it, wireless telecommunication device. So yeah, that pretty much includes any GPS. Now, if it's integrated, if it's sitting on your dashboard and you don't touch it, as long as you don't physically touch it in any way, you're okay. Unless, I don't know, I can't think of a single GPS that plays videos, but apparently at some point it was brought up with GPS and video.
Well, Aaron, they're out there.
Yeah.
Really?
I've had them.
Mm. Okay.
Frank said something funny on the way in that it's like everyone's trying to get in all their handheld use now before the law comes into effect.
Probably so. But you can't even let it rest on your lap.
No.
Which is something I've been notorious for, and it doesn't mean I'm even using the phone, but especially in a Mustang, that cell phones were around, but not quite as popular. You know, there's not really a lot of places to put it, you know.
Well, I would argue that in your pocket is the very best place, because then once you've crashed, it's not going to fly to somewhere else in the car where you can't reach it.
Because if you have a newer generation Apple phone, an iPhone, we all know that they bend if you sit on them when they're in your pocket.
Well, don't put it in the back pocket.
You're still bending in the front. You're just not sitting.
Or in the center console or in your purse or something. You know what I mean? Somewhere where it's not going to fly around the car or crash.
Mine is attached to my dashboard. I use Waze. I use it almost religiously. And so I have a couple different questions. Like, Waze does require user input, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I see a policeman or if I see a wreck, it takes me 3 or 4 clicks to make sure that data is in the system.
You're not required to do that.
And now I'm not required to do that, but now I'm sort of...
But that's how it gets all its information.
That's how Waze gets its information. So now I'm breaking the law just to use Waze.
Yeah. But, I mean, skipping ahead, I made this whole list of notes here. Skipping ahead, I have heard a rumor that Waze is in talks with Apple for an adapted version for CarPlay. It's not on the CarPlay list, and I didn't pull up the Android list to see what it had available. But they're talking about it. You still get Google Maps and Apple Maps. I'm not a fan of either one of those. Yeah. I prefer Waze.
Much prefer Waze. But here's the other thing. It's like, okay, how enforceable is the law? We already have a no texting law in this state. And I don't know anyone who's ever gotten a ticket for texting.
I think it's a law that's just there so they have something else to throw at somebody should they want to.
Yeah.
It's just more, I hate to say it, it's revenue.
It's revenue.
It's an opportunity to say something that we don't like that you're doing in this situation because we don't like you for whatever reason.
Well,
is actionable.
If you give somebody a little bit of guidance, you know.
Well, I mean, in my mind, of course, I know it's revenue, just logically speaking, but I also kind of hope that the safety reason behind the law means something to people, and I still see people texting.
I don't think that'll ever mean. But this one goes much, much further than the texting law.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then again, we do have 3 laws on the books right now just to keep drivers out of the left-hand lane. People still go 20 miles slower in the left-hand lane, so it'll never. But it is very, very specific. Some of the notes I wrote down is really just a meme that's going around that's a lot easier to read than the actual law. But it has some inaccuracies in it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the big things people have been debating back and forth, it goes on to say, internet-based radio stations, which I gave up on Atlanta Radio.
Yes, there is nothing.
Basically, when 96 Rock sold out, I stopped. I just never turned on a radio again. They tell you things like Spotify and all this. You can't. Pandora's listed. Those, to set up your thing, you're supposed to press like or what have you. If it revolves around your phone, you have to have your playlist playing. You can't interact. You can't like, dislike, or... you know, mark on ways that there's a car pulled over.
You can't touch your phone.
You cannot touch it. Like with hands-free calling, sometimes you still have to hit the phone to pick up and disconnect. Depending on your setup, the law says no. Now, if you have to touch your dashboard because you've got a touch screen, then you can do it. So all these apps are working towards better integration or just new to it so that people can use it and touch the dashboard. But you touch it.
I think that's a really good insight into why this law is, like any law that has to do with technology, is woefully short-sighted and out of date by the time it comes out. The very fact that CarPlay and all these things are integrated in cars with touchscreens already, it's basically, look at the new Mercedes, it looks like there's literally a tablet mounted to the dashboard as a separate
piece.
People
have done that. It's all over YouTube,
right?
People putting tablets in cars.
But the point is that you're doing that as part of what's built into the car. At this point, what is the difference between, okay, it is a permanent fixture on your dashboard versus something that you could stick with a magnet to your dashboard that is your phone?
Permanent,
it's the exact same controls. It's the exact same touchscreen. It's the exact same. You've got to look at it. There is no difference. What this law is a problem in that it's symptomatic, what you said about the left lane driver's laws. They're trying to put in laws as a substitute for common sense.
Yes.
Instead of having people understand... you shouldn't touch a hot stove because you're going to burn your hand. It's like a law saying don't touch a hot stove. someone's still going to touch their stove a lot because they want to know why.
You learn it when you get burned. We don't want people wrecking to learn, I shouldn't have used my phone.
Oh, right, but that's sort of a lesson to learn.
That's
that.
What they're doing.
That is what they're doing.
That is what they're doing, but we're talking about much bigger consequences than a burn on your arm for a week.
Yeah, if I'm killed or maimed because someone else is learning this.
Exactly. it's much, much bigger consequences, but it is that problem that they're not learning, they're not.
The only time I thought an air horn on a car was a good idea.
You see $39 eBay.
Yeah, that would be the one time that it's okay.
Even cheaper on Wish.com. I've thought about it just because people ignore you now. It doesn't matter how long you lay on that horn. If they feel that they were in the right of way, they will just, I want to make them at least pee their pants.
And they become all ornithologists and show you their bird.
That's great. I got two of them, too.
So as long as we're talking about, I mean, we're looking at Becca's list. Let's move on to that. Are we done with
that? Well, I did want to mention, just in case. I know I had a whole bunch of stuff. I did want to mention, if people wanted to see a brief explanation, there's a video on Facebook. The site is Georgia, G-O-H-S, on Facebook. That's the Georgia Office of Highway Safety. The actual law is on the GeorgiaHighwaySafety.org. Mm-hmm. You can find it if you want to read all of the legal mumbo-jumbo, but there's a good video on Facebook that they can find if they want to understand, because it's coming up.
Yep. I got one thing, though. You can have an earpiece and have a conversation with your phone is fine.
Yeah.
Holding that phone to your ear is illegal.
Right.
Is it not the conversation that you're distracted by more than the phone in your hand? Because technically driving a stick shift would be just as dangerous as holding that phone.
No, because you can talk to somebody in the car.
Yeah. That's distracting. Well, also
it's holding the phone, it's having your hand off the wheel and all that.
But is that really that different than driving a manual transmission?
I think it is.
Yes. We were trying to look at your blind spot.
You do see the point, though, that the phone conversation is distracting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's natural.
A manual transmission is focused on your driving. You're paying attention to why you need to do
that. And you're only momentarily using that hand.
Yeah, but you do see the point that having a conversation on a phone through an earpiece versus holding it, I really don't see where there's a huge difference.
Although, no, and you don't have to look down for a manual. If you do need to look down to see what gear you're in, you're probably not a good manual driver anyways.
That's the thing. I think you're talking about muscle memory at that point. Yes, doing this and trying to check your blind spot is not intuitive. Doing this shift and trying to
check the manual trans was a jerk.
Yeah.
But the fact that an earpiece versus holding it, I mean, are we all capable of driving with one hand on the steering wheel? You think?
Should I admit to
me
driving at this point?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
You actually have a limb on the wheel?
I have
a good alignment, and you just press cruise control.
We're saying that the ideal driving situation is a driver who's got blinders on, earplugs in, and is high on Ritalin.
That reminds me of my childhood.
Although, I was going to add to it at the end, I had nearly forgotten some shocking news. Eric saw a little bit work in progress coming in, what I'm doing to the Mustang. I'm gutting the center area. I can't even call it media because media centers weren't around back then. I'm gutting it, and I have a Boss Apple CarPlay doubled in a box at my house, and I'm going to be installing technology in the Mustang.
Did you do the Crutchfield thing?
I did Crutchfield. I did want to do a shout out to Nemo.
I got it handed. As long as we're talking about Crutchfield, they know exactly what they're doing. They sold me everything I needed, and it wasn't even that expensive.
Yeah, he was awesome. We had completely conflicting schedules. We kept trying to email back and forth, and eventually, I think he called me, and we managed to be able to sit down and talk. And I think at least 30 minutes of the conversation, if not more, was us talking about cars.
Yeah. Are you saying that with this difficulty communicating with him, it was hard to...
No, I'm saying that he was absolutely fabulous. He never let the ball drop.
She walked right over that.
She completely
stomped it. Oh, my God.
Well, okay. Did I miss anything?
There's about 5 seconds of strong setup that you just...
Try it again, Rob.
So I said, are you saying with your difficulties in communications... connecting with your salesperson there that you were having difficulty finding Nemo?
And his email, I'm not skipping it, his email signature actually is a spoof. And I'm starting to think they actually don't go by their real names. I did not find out later. It's a long story.
Did you speak with Bambi also? And
No.
Everyone's
the snowman from Frozen.
Just Dora. Just Dora. No. I don't want to leave it on it. Crutchfield was very good. He was very awesome. He was a good guy.
Frank, you got anything we should touch on before we cut loose on this episode?
No. No. I don't know anything about Nemo. and most of the stuff in my garage has got a push-button radio. You got to pull the button out to set the station, and after that, you don't touch it again. So.
Yeah. Oh, I've got stories.
I think the law is just really... it's going to be up to interpretation to whatever policeman pulls you over. Really, I think, you know, it's been dangerous. Things have changed. People are sitting there. We've all seen it. The light turns green. There's so much traffic. You're dying to get across the light and keep going. Mm-hmm. And here the light turns green, and the person in front of you, there's eight cars have already gone ahead of them, and they're still... It's changed. The world has changed. And they're just trying to make it safer. Yeah. You can kill somebody. That's the last thing we ever want to have happen.
And they have been killing people, and nobody's learning from it.
Yeah.
It's just, what's going to stop them? I like devices that would actually deactivate the driver's phone. I had mentioned, I don't know how long ago, some device they had in Australia for a while, where you plug it in, you have limited functionality, but it pretty much deactivates anything that would be distracting. Well, and it's required to run the vehicle.
But the person who's going to be responsible enough to plug that in is also the person who's going to be responsible enough not to need it.
Say, Ben?
And speaking of Australia, their motorcycle cops have helmet cams that can see in the window of the car. They ride right up and say, "All right, mate, you're on your phone. Here's your ticket. It's on video."
Although, on a similar note, I've actually pulled up next to cops here in Atlanta and seen the cop in the driver's seat texting on the phone.
Oh, sure.
Do any of us know any local policemen who could come join us for a show?
No, Zone 2 supervisor is kind of a friend that stops by.
Yeah.
I could ask.
I might. Yeah. He just left. He started a new job in a different aspect of safety, but he had been with one of the local sheriff's offices.
A lot of policemen are limited by the whole media thing. They're not allowed to talk to the press.
And well, he's no longer, but he's recently out of it within weeks.
Yeah. Well, we went to a car show and tried to talk to some cops who were just standing there. We went to one of Caffeine and Octane's, and they flat out said, "I'm sorry." And what I did is I went up and I said, "Hey, we're doing a podcast. Can I ask you a quick question about your cars?" And they said, "No."
Well, the recording of them giving basically legal advice can cause... Well, it's... I recently learned what they view as legal advice. So they pretty much say, nah.
Well, it comes down to...
Most officers have a no-media rule in general, blanket from their departments.
So if it's possible, if there's a listener out there, someone who can help us get a friend to the table, we will happily anonymize them. Just spend a few minutes with them on
we'll put them in the shadow.
On microphone. Yeah, we'll leave them in the shadow. We'll change their voice a little bit. But if we have a connection to find an officer who can bring an officer to the table, let's do that. We've got a few minutes left.
I don't disagree with the law.
Yeah.
I personally don't like looking at my phone. I don't even want to look at it for the time.
Yeah.
So no, I'm all for it. I just think it's too many gray areas. It's just going to be difficult to make it.
I'm completely and totally guilty of using the phone, except I'm also nearly hands-free with it. You know, I'll hit one button, and then I'll say, "Okay, call Ben." And the rest is all voice, right? The rest is all voice commands. So I've already minimized contact with my phone. The question for me is, do I now simply not even punch the screen anymore to start the call with Ben?
Yeah, they want voice activation as much as possible, used only.
Yep.
So touching the dash in limited amounts, but they want voice controls, basically.
Yep.
Anything else needs to be set in motion before you put the car in a drive. No changes while you're driving, no touching anything. And I mean, I agree with it, and I think... starting on July 1st, I think the cops will be out in force, ticketing everybody just to get everybody to
pay attention,
realize it's an effect.
I hope so.
But I think they're going to get relaxed.
Well, it's an easier rule to enforce than the whole texting thing, too. Right?
Because they could say, "I wasn't texting." When you read the actual law, it's specific. The meme going around is still saying texting, but no, they are very specific. No Facebook, no social media posts, no texting, no emails.
Streaming TV shows.
It says no video whatsoever.
This is a tangential thing, but this is one of those it gets under my skin moments where I'm driving along and I see someone with their phone posted right above their steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere north of the glass, you know, north of the steering wheel in their thing,
field of vision.
Right in the field of vision, I'm like, what are you doing?
I normally do that when I'm videotaping the idiot in front of me. I can't talk today. Somebody in front of me is doing something so stupid, yep. I want to record it. Because if some resulting accident happens, they'll put it on the steering wheel just for the the view there.
But if you're using it for your nav anyway, wouldn't it be better to have a higher eye line instead of having to look down to your console or something? Yeah.
But it shouldn't be here. It should be off to the side, theoritically not obstructing the direct view.
But the screens are usually bright, so that by the time your eyes are used to reading your screen, if you go back to now a dark road, you're at a disadvantage.
Yes, I agree.
So I keep mine down level with the steering wheel. It's near the top edge, but it's at least below that horizon of the hood in the car. That's what I do.
But along those lines with what he was saying, I've had times where the conditions on the road change so fast that even me looking down to look at my speedometer has given me enough concern once I've looked back up. Something has drastically changed in half a second. Mm-hmm. So just taking your eyes off so much can change so fast.
Mm-hmm. Becca, let's wrap up this episode. Take us out and we'll wrap this one.
I knew you were going to call on me when you used me as an example earlier, because I always totally brain fart when it comes to wrapping it up.
So this has been The Thing About Cars, as usual, recording from Strongbox West. Please find us on Facebook at The Thing About Cars. Our website is actually currently down, but we hope to have it up soon. You'll find us at thethingaboutcars.com. But all of our links online, you'll find that we are trying to do a little fundraising to buy new microphones and maybe a little more gear. I think that's about it. Let's is that anything else?
Be safe out there.
Be careful. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.